Welcome to the Greater Cincinnati Business Report. Stephen J. Lowenstein with you for the next hour as we look through the pages of this week's Cincinnati Business Courier. We'll begin our program this week with the cover story of the print edition, a little different topic than we normally have on the program, the zoo, as the Cincinnati Zoo, that is, seeks to get more room to roam. We'll then talk about violinist Mutter, unruffled after an iPhone recording that halted her performance at the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's program at Music Hall. Then back to business. We'll talk about Todd Portune and his statement about Hilltop and the relocation of that company, why it will have to move to somewhere else other than where it's been originally intended. Up to Hyde Park we go and talk about an art show returning, one of the oldest in the greater Cincinnati area. Next will be student housing that's under construction next to Xavier University. Horse racing fans, good news for you. Churchill Downs to buy Turfway Park. And Cincinnati's Children's Hospital lands its third largest grant. In investing, Shelbourne is investing millions into One North Lake Place. That's a real estate investment and a buyout of some properties that are in need of a little tender loving care and some upgrades. Soccer fans, good news if you know somebody who's young, interested in soccer. Well, they're going to be, Corporex that is, will begin financing the King's Hammer Soccer Club, and it'll be expanding. I'll tell you where and how. We'll then continue with Art of Care Hospitality taking over Teller's space at Hyde Park Square. Macy's is hiring tens of thousands for the 2019 holiday season. Then we'll talk about Judge Tracy, and while she'd be getting out of jail early. Another story about UC Health adds doctors along with $1 million expansion of sports medicine clinic. And Ohio's largest pension fund proposes cuts to future benefits. And finally, we'll talk a little bit about Mayor John Cranley and his projections of what our city population could be, particularly in the next census. Well, that's a lot to cover today on our program. We may not be able to get through it all. Of course, you could always go online and supplement all the wonderful information you're getting on this program at www.biz.journals.com. Move it right there. You'll scroll down to the Cincinnati Business Courier, and you can learn whatever it is that you need to know. And by the way, I don't know whether I've mentioned this recently. You can, through their website, more so now than they've ever been able to do before, research previous articles. And you can do so by company, by topic, by individual, and go back through the history of the Courier and their discussion and reporting on that particular item. Let's begin with the cover story for the Business Courier this week. Once again, it's entitled, Cincinnati Zoo Seeks Room to Roam. When Harry Pfaff handed a check for $10 million to the director of the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden last year, the businessman noted that he and his wife, Linda, might donate up to $40 million more. But there was a catch. The zoo must raise $100 million from other sources before the FAFs gave the full $50 million. It's a challenge, said FAF, CEO of FAF Properties, which owns dozens of apartment complexes in Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and Texas. We will give $1 for every $2 the zoo raises, so we need the population of Greater Cincinnati to step up. I hope my gift would inspire people. The money will fund things such as the Elephant Trek, a $50 million project that is to span 5 acres and provide room to grow the zoo's herd from 4 Asian elephants to 12. Elephants are typically the biggest attraction at a zoo, though Fiona the Hippo might be the heavyweight champ locally. The effort to raise a total of $150 million by 2025 is the most ambitious in the history of the zoo, which will celebrate its 150th anniversary that year. It's a big ask, said Zoo Director Thane Maynard, but it would fund the biggest set of enhancements ever undertaken by the zoo. It's kind of a go big or go home thing, Maynard said. We're going to have elephants. We've got to have enough room for them to really have a good existence. Called More Home to Roam, the campaign would increase space for elephants by fivefold, double that for black rhinos, the animals on the zoo logo. The effort also will provide $30 million for Roo Valley, an Australian-themed area set to open next spring with the zoo's first kangaroos. It will feature a 15,000-square-foot walkabout so people can stroll just feet from the kangaroos and wallabies. Roo Valley will include the Little Blue Penguin habitat, which is to feature an underwater viewing display. In addition, an adventure ropes course called Climb, that's with a K, will enable people to traverse the area while 40 feet above the kangaroos, wallabies, and penguins. Now, the investment could spur attendance to 2 million visits annually, up from 1.75 million now logged by the zoo. That trails only Kings Island as the region's biggest draw. That's a lot of money. Charlie Hall, 11, heard about FAF's $50 million pledge while at zoo camp. A counselor saw a news alert about the donation and showed Charlie the story on his smartphone. The Clifton boy later spotted FAF in a parking lot. The sixth grader at Mercy Montessori, who hopes to be an elephant keeper someday, approached FAF to thank him. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of money, Charlie recalled of his chat with FAF. He was saying, you don't need to donate $50 million. Anyone can donate. You could even use your allowance money. So, I donated $20 to the zoo, Charlie said of the cash she had earned doing chores. And for my 11th birthday, I donated $250, which tons of my friends were excited to give me instead of presents. Then Thane Maynard sent me a letter to say thank you for donating so much money, and he said, I wish there were more people like you in the world. Nearly 25,000 donors have made contributions to the campaign. Almost 9,500 of those have never before given to the zoo. So far, the zoo has raised $38 million, which includes $13 million in matching funds from the FAFs, $25 million from others such as Charlie. I am appreciative of that kind of effort, Fath said of Charlie's donation, but there's still $75 million to raise. We've taken baby steps. It's hard to get money out of people, even though the zoo is just a spectacular asset of the city. Fath suggested he would boost his pledge to the zoo campaign, noting he also pledged $50 million apiece to the Lindner Center of Hope Mental Health Hospital at Mason and Texas-based Bercy Ships. The biggest challenge is to get the greater Cincinnati people, lovers of the zoo, on board to whatever gift they can afford, Fath said. My open dream was maybe 50,000 people would agree to give us $1,000 over 5 years. That would equate to an annual gift of $200, which would total $50 million. If Deli comes in, you know people love the zoo as long as someone else is paying for it, Fath said. He noted that a $35 million garage that's to be built across Erkenbrecker Avenue from the zoo is key to driving attendance. The four-level garage, which could accommodate 1,800 cars on 4 acres acquired recently, would connect to the zoo by a pedestrian bridge over the road. About 20 of the zoo's 84 acres are now used for parking. Elephant Trek is planned for an area that's now a surface parking lot, but that project can't proceed until the garage is built. So Elephant Trek is essentially an $85 billion undertaking. Business boost. Stuart Dornett, chairman of the board of the zoo, describes it as a conservation organization wrapped around an entertainment facility. The zoo appeals not just to kids and parents, but also to young adults, he said. Events such as Zoo Brew and Wild About Wine, which fund the work of scientists with the zoo's Center for Conservation and Research of Endangered Wildlife, target 25 to 30-year-olds, and is always a sellout. The zoo helps local businesses recruit young talent to Cincinnati, noted Dornett, a partner at TAP, Tostitius, and Hollister. More and more companies are looking for something that's going to excite their younger workers, said Dornett, whose downtown law firm holds events at the zoo in hopes that students on summer internships will appreciate the city and take jobs here after graduation. Kids today, millennials, that's the kind of things they care about, the conservation aspect, Dornett said, and it's being done right here in Cincinnati on a world-class level. The partnership we have with the animal conservation programs in Africa, Asia, South America, little islands of the Caribbean, our reach has always been greater than you would expect for a small zoo in an urban setting, Dornett said. That's part of the reason we said yes, we can go after this $150 million. Never before has the zoo raised so much money. $38 million in such a short time, Dornett said. Now the task is maintaining the momentum. The zoo's operating budget this fiscal year is $38.4 billion. Property tax levy contributes about $7 billion of that, but the levy doesn't fund capital projects such as those covered by More Home to Roam. For example, about $2.2 million is budgeted for the new Hops Craft Beer Garden, which will debut on October the 10th during Zoo Brew. With seating for about 130, Hops will overlook Rue Valley and the Ropes Course. Companies will be able to rent out the Gastro Pub for private events. Hops features a $50,000 gas-fired oven made in Italy. It can cook 13 pizzas at a time in 60 seconds. The menu includes wings, meatballs, plus vegan fare, such as roasted cauliflower. The pub also boasts 6 taps, which include offerings from local breweries, 50 West, High Grain, Mad Tree, Braxton, and 3 Points, each inked a sponsorship deal with the zoo. There also will be a rotating lineup of national draft beer from Heidelberg Distributing. The idea is, let's get this stuff to help people, to help provide a good experience for the visitor, but it goes to the long-term financial stability of the zoo, said Mark Fisher, who oversees capital projects as vice president of facilities, planning, and sustainability. Zoos in general, the exhibits are losing business, Fisher said, but stuff like this helps make money to offset elephants, which are fairly expensive. The Cincinnati Zoo already ranks among the best of the nation. Maynard, the zoo director, said more home to roam will not only enhance visits to the Avondale campus, but also will have a wider impact. What the campaign's really about is making sure the zoo is helping people fall in love with wildlife, Maynard said. The need for that is greater today than it was 40 years ago. The wild world is under more and more pressure each year. Asian elephants, like we have, are an endangered species, he said. Black rhinos, which we lead the world in breeding, are critically endangered species. And in the United States, the Endangered Species Act is under pressure. If you want to learn how you can help protect nature, you can learn it here, Maynard said. The zoo is here to inspire us with animals. Now let's supplement that article with some sidebars. We'll begin with a little chart here called By the Numbers. $150 million, that's the total the zoo seeks to raise by 2025. $38 million, that's the amount raised since 2018, including $13 million match from the Harry and Linda Pfaff. $5 million, that's the second largest donation so far, behind that of the Pfaffs. 10, that's the number of donors who have given $1 million or more, and how much remains to be raised by the zoo to trigger an additional $37 million Pfaff match. Well, that total is $75 billion. And one more, coming attractions, a review of what's up and coming at the zoo soon. Well, we'll have the Hops Craft Beer Garden October 10th. It's $2.2 million. The Climb Adventure Ropes Course in the spring of 2020 at a cost of $1 million. The Little Blue Penguin Habitat will be available in the spring of 2020 at $5.2 million. And the Kangaroo Walkabout, the spring of 2020. That's a $2.3 million project. And the Elephant Trek, scheduled for 2025, is estimated to cost $50 million. Now, next up, an article on a topic and a situation that, well, we don't see every day anywhere. And it's entitled, Star Violinist Remains Unruffled After iPhone Recording Halts CSO Performance. the celebrated German violinist Anne-Sophie Mutter just reached the most sublime moment of the Larghetto in Beethoven Violin Concerto with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra on Saturday night, when she suddenly stopped playing and pointed to the front row. Now, the orchestra ground to a halt. A young woman was shooting a video of Mutter's performance with an iPhone just a few feet away and directly in front of the star. A confrontation of several minutes ensued, with Mutter exclaiming, "Either I will leave or you will put away your phone and recording device," while the person stood up and spoke to her, seeming to be pleading her case. Finally, CSO President Jonathan Martin appeared and escorted the disruptor out to the applause of the audience. With that, Mutter and guest conductor Eunsoon Kim launched the slow movement again, somehow even more beautiful than before, to finish the performance. The incident was odd, perhaps unprecedented, in an eruption to an otherwise superb concert. Mutter's return to Music Hall was one of the highlights of the orchestra's 125th anniversary season. On the podium, the rising South Korean conductor Kim led the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra in a rewarded program that included Brahms' Symphony No. 4. Now, Mutter is one of the world's great artists, with a career of more than four decades since being propelled to fame as a young teen by the legendary conductor Herbert von Karajan. She has appeared in Cincinnati just once before, in 2013. Beethoven's Violin Concerto in D Major is one of her signature pieces. It's a work she had no doubt performed hundreds of times. Nevertheless, her reading was both fresh and strikingly individual. Her phrasing in the first movements was thoughtful and unrushed. She communicated on her Stradivarius with glowing tone, savoring every note in a way that drew the listener in. Her range of color, particularly her Ethereal Pianissimos, was enthralling. The first movement cadenza was a feat of effortless virtuosity. Despite the interruption, the spiritual quality of the slow movement was undeniable. Somehow Mutter reclaimed the focus needed to ascend new heights. The finale, a rondo, contrasted rustic passages where she dug into her strings against lighter phrases that were so hushed as to be almost inaudible. The cadenza flew like the wind, and Mutter's technical fireworks were breathtaking. Kim provided impeccable balance and support, warmly shaped the tutti passages. Enthusiastic ovations from the audience, Mutter treated a profoundly beautiful encore, the Sarabande from J.S. Bach's Partita No. 2 in D minor. On Friday, the violinist, who is known for her support for aspiring young artists through her own foundation, conducted a master class at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. Although Saturday was Kim's first Cincinnati Symphony subscription appearance, the 38-year-old conductor made a memorable U.S. debut leading the Cincinnati Bay Festival at Verdi's Requiem in 2018. With her star rapidly ascending in this country as well as in Europe, she was recently named principal guest conductor for the Houston Grand Opera. After intermission, the conductor conveyed the autumnal quality of Brahms' Symphony No. 4 in E minor. From the work's arresting opening notes, which seems to start mid-sentence, she cultivated a rich, relaxed sound of the strings. Each phrase breathed, yet she also led with momentum, knowing just the right moment to push ahead. It was much to admire, from the sonorous beauty of the second movement, with its quietly lyrical clarinet solo by Christopher Pell, to the robust intensity of the third, the closest Brahms came to an orchestral scherzo. The conductor was a dynamic presence as she led, illuminating details of the score with clarity and expressive power. The finale, a towering passacaglia, unfolded with the depth that the musicians responded with polish, refined playing. The program opened with the world premiere of, now get this, F, parentheses X, equals sine 2X minus 1X, a new commission by California native Gabriella Smith, who's 27 years old. The composer took her title from the mathematical function for the form of her piece, which illustrated in the program notes as a general upward swoop. Despite the title, which some might find forbidding, that's an understatement, it didn't take a mathematical genius to understand her inventive work. It was atmospheric, rich with interesting instrumental effects. The piece included sections of spiccato, or bouncing attacks, if the strings had flutter tonguing in the flutes, as well as whirs, whistles, and tweeting through reeds. The 8-minute piece flowed through peaks and valleys, ended with a descending brass chorale set to a pounding timpani beat. The composer was present to take a bow. Well, I'm going to take a bow for a couple moments as we come to the end of the first half of today's program. You've been listening to the Greater Cincinnati Business Report here on Radio Reading Services of Greater Cincinnati, a division of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I'm Stephen J. Lowenstein. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.